And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for tuning in today. You know what I like to do sometimes with my financial freedom? I go skydiving. I've been doing this for 21 years. And we just had one of our annual competitions. This was a 20-way. That means 20 people piling out of the airplane together, building a formation, or at least trying to. We may not have succeeded. But so in that line, I went up out of town on Friday to do some practice jumps and then made the same drive on Saturday. And as cool as that is, here's the really cool part. I was driving up 75 north of Dallas, headed to McKinney. Then I head up on State Highway, I guess, 121 to the northeast. That takes you out into the country, except it's not the country anymore. I've been driving this way since we moved back to Dallas for 15 years to this same drop zone. And it started as a little two-lane highway surrounded by fields and more fields as far as you can see. And now it's broadened into four lanes with a median. There's a Buc-ee's where I exit. There's a big new HEB. I was a little shocked to see that. It's a big grocery store for those listening out of the state. So the sleepy town of Melissa, which is at this intersection, has absolutely exploded. Expansive subdivisions, huge apartment communities. And that's really what we've been seeing around the entire DFW Metroplex lately. Everything on the perimeter is just growing. So if you're not finding the investments that meet your investing criteria when it comes to single-family rental houses or apartments here in the, you know, DFW proper or any of the big metros out there, well, how about going out into the country? And I use that in air quotes because, boy, the country's just moving farther and farther away. You can invest in the path of progress. And that is what my guest, yes, I've got a guest today, my guest has been doing. And in fact, if I had missed my turnoff for the drop zone, just a quick 20 minutes farther down the road would have put me in the heart of her town that she's slowly been chipping away at. So on today's show, we're gonna talk about investing in smaller communities in what we often call tertiary markets and hear about my guest's path that led her out into the countryside. And by the way, she is absolutely rocking it out there. So without further ado, Tosh, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, Andy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's very exciting. You know, I've known you for a while now, and you are really growing at a very good clip. So I know your progress. I know your background. The listener doesn't. So why don't you set the table for us and tell us a little bit about yourself and your husband, Anant, as well?
Yeah, sure. So a little bit background about us. We got married last January. We both still have our W-2 corporate jobs. And we're also actively working to grow our single-family portfolio as well.
And why real estate investing? What drew you to this mode of investing?
So I grew up with a family of real estate investors, so I always knew from the start that I wanted to be in real estate, and I saw the power of passive investing and how, you know, it could really change your life. So I always knew I wanted to do it, but I just felt like I wanted more helping, more mentoring, and that's how I was able to join Lifestyles.
Very good. Very good. So you had the family, you had the experience, you saw what people can attain in this space and found Lifestyles. How did you find Lifestyles? How did you hear about it? And really, what motivated you to, because there are a lot of groups out there, what made it motivated you to join Lifestyles?
So how I found out about Lifestyles is actually through you. You were able to, you know, bring me on to this amazing group. And so the reason why we like Lifestyles over the others is for several reasons. One, I like the fact that you can go to an office and we have, you know, several different events each month that you can meet people in person rather than just, you know, the Zoom calls. And I really, really like the whole mentorship program, and that's what really sold me. I feel like anybody could do this, but I think with mentorship, your challenges become easier because you know who to call when you have something. You don't panic and walk away from deals.
Yeah, and we do have brick-and-mortar offices here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, also in Central Texas, San Antonio, Houston, out in Phoenix. But for the listener that may be farther afield and say, she's talking about going into the offices, you don't have to do that. In fact, our national membership base has really, really grown over the years because a lot of what we now do is virtual. In fact, Tosh, did you go out to the free workshop before you joined?
I did. You're referring to the one that was like the two-hour online one, right?
Yeah.
Yep, that was the first LU event that I ever attended.
So the point I want to make here is that is done purely virtually. When I joined, over a dozen years ago, I had to go down to the office. So you did need to be local. But nowadays, as virtual as everything is, there's really no need for that. In fact, I was on a virtual Zoom session just last night. There's another one going on tonight where we'll network and connect. So it's great to be local. I think the bigger point that you made there is having access to mentors, because I don't know what your first couple of deals were like. We were scared. My wife and I, we were really scared on the first one, even on the second one, and it was really helpful to lean into that mentor. And boy, she really gave us that push that we needed to get going. Did you have a similar experience on house number, say, one or two?
Oh, 1,000%. When you were talking about that, it reminded me of the first house that we bought. The numbers, everything made sense. We had an inspector come in. Once he came in, he said, "You have asbestos siding." So as any normal human, when you hear asbestos, you run away from it.
Oh, gosh.
So exactly my point. So I was panicking because I was like, I just hear liability, lawsuits. You know, I called my mentor and then a couple of other people from LU just to kind of like understand what their perspective is, like if they were in my position, what they would do. And all of them said, "It's not a big deal. You can actually replace it." And we moved forward with that deal.
When did you join? Let me ask you that. I didn't even ask.
We joined, all the years are blending in together, but I believe it was December of 22 as a Financial Freedom. And then we upgraded our membership to Preferred the summer after.
Okay, and when you joined, what everybody does before you do Preferred or whatever else, we say, we want you to go to the two-day. So you went to the two-day. How was that experience?
Oh, it was great. I felt we learned a lot. So coming into LU, we felt like we had a good background in real estate. But then when you go to LU, you see the processes. And for example, you know, exactly what kind of criteria you need to screen tenants. It kind of like simplifies it for you rather than just having a theory. You have, you know, tenant type A, tenant type B, and then according to that, this is how you would charge according based on that. So it basically helped us, you know, put a map together on how we should go about it rather than just, we think we should do it this way or maybe this way. It's more like, no, this is going to happen this way because of reasons.
Very concrete instructions, really. I talk a lot about process and how. How do I do this? How do I do that? That's essentially what the two-day is. Day one is how to do single family, all the moving parts. Like you're describing just one portion of that, but we talk about everything. How to buy, how to finance, what those returns look like. Day two, same thing, multifamily, different scale. So you went to the two-day. You learned some of these things about, have you gone just once or have you gone back?
We've gone twice total.
Twice,
so far.
Yeah. It's a good idea to return. As you grow, and you've grown quite a bit, your perspective will change, your point of view will change, the details, the information and the wisdom, I would say, that you extract from that two-day will change with your growth. But you went in, and did you come out thinking, I want to do single family or I want to do multifamily? What was the initial goal there?
The initial goal was to do 50% of each, so do a little bit of both.
Okay, and I know you went on to get invested passively in a multifamily, but I think you've shifted gears pretty much straight exclusively into single family. Is that correct?
That is correct. And you know that saying they say, once you buy your first house, you get addicted? That's exactly what happened to us.
It's true. You get over the asbestos and you realize that wasn't so painful after all. Let's do another and another after that. So multifamily is to the side now. And by the way, for the listener, Tosh mentioned the Preferred Investor Group. That's a focus on apartments. So if you're thinking about apartments, that it's a unique subset. There's a lot of education that goes into that. And we have a lot of training that can help you with that, whether you want to syndicate or be a passive, which is what I do as well. So that's a different course. What we're talking about now and what we're going to focus on going forward is just that single family track. I'm the same way, Tosh. We joined, we thought we'd kind of do a split, but man, we got hooked into the houses very early on, and that's what really got me to my financial freedom. And obviously, you said you're still working, but you will get there before you know it. Now, that house you mentioned that was kind of kept you up at night, had you a little bit nervous, had the asbestos siding. Where was that house?
The house was in Bonham, Texas, which is about an hour away from the DFW metro, so like northeast.
Yeah. In fact, that's the town I was thinking about as I was driving out to my drop zone to do the skydiving on Friday and Saturday. I kept seeing the sign. There's Bonham, 20 more miles. And I didn't quite make it to Bonham. I had other things to do. But what was the draw? How did you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro. Had you heard of Bonham before? What opened your eyes or what made you think, hey, let's go to Bonham?
So ironically, our first deal that one of the LU Realtors had sent us was in Bonham, and the numbers just made sense. And so that was our first time actually driving to Bonham to see the property. And after that, we were like, we love this area. Like, I even think I'd probably move there when I retire. It's just such a peaceful area, small town, you know. The prices are not as inflated as other areas right now, so there's a lot of room for appreciation as well.
Yeah. And I think that's a big point I would like to convey to the listener today is that prices in Dallas proper, Dallas-Fort Worth, they've really heated up. Now, they're starting to cool off a little bit. And I think if you're considering getting into this space, now would be the time to do it. Get that education, get that basis, get that foundation laid so that you can strike. I'm starting to see some good numbers coming in towns like Arlington, right in the middle of the Metroplex, Fort Worth, different places around town, but it has been a little bit on the heated side. So yeah, it makes sense. I've been seeing you mentioned a blast, and for the listener, that's we have our realty team, Lifestyles Realty, and they'll send out emails. I get them as well, and they'll say, hey, here's a house, here's an investment opportunity in Bonham or in Greenville, which is another tertiary market, or in Mineral Wells, Texas, out to the west, Weatherford, right? And what do? Tosh, we just look at the numbers and say, hey, does this meet my criteria? If so, great. Dive in deeper. If not, move on to the next one. So that's interesting. So the intro to Bonham came from one of our realty team. Did you just buy one out there, or have you gone on to buy? You've gone on to buy multiple, right?
Correct. So in Bonham, the town itself, we have four.
So taking over Bonham, I love it. Can you tell us a little bit about Bonham? It's the county seat of Fannin County, isn't it?
Correct. It is definitely growing. There is a lot of new builds in the area. The second property that I had purchased last year, the lot next to it was vacant for a while. And then the next time I went last year, there was four houses on there.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, exactly. And it's definitely growing. There is three major developments from big builders that are coming that are probably at least 60 to 100 acres each development. There's mixed-use areas coming. There's just a lot of growth, and I follow the city council there just because I wanted to know exactly what's happening in Bonham, because I really, truly care about that town. So just a lot of growth happening, and I'm very bullish on that town.
Yeah, interesting. And I like what you said there, getting involved, or at least following the city council. It's a good idea. If you're going to target a particular location and that's going to be your focus, absolutely get in it as involved as you can be. Doesn't mean you have to drive out there every weekend and hang out or, you know, anything like that. You can do these things remotely as well. Interesting that you mentioned, by the way, the subdivisions. We've got a break coming up, so I'm going to just put this out there now. First skydive on Saturday. We're sitting in the airplane. There were too many clouds. You can't jump through clouds, right? So we're just circling at about 14,000 feet. And what do you do? I'm looking out the window and I saw these very subdivision tracks that were going in. I don't know if it was Bonham or Van Alstine. There are so many little cities in the air up there where they're developing. That path of progress is really pushing north. So I saw it. You just confirmed it was probably Bonham. It was probably Bonham that I was looking at. And to the listener, if you're looking at investing, maybe look at Bonham, Van Alstine, Sherman, Denison. We'll talk more when we get back.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Pre- creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions, send those over to me. You can send those to askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And I'm talking today with Tosh. She's been a member for a couple of years now, decided to go firmly down the single family path. And Tosh, when I watch your progression, I feel like it's very similar to what my wife and I experienced early on as well. So I think you guys are going to get where you want to go very, very, very quickly. And specifically, you've gone out to East, or I guess Northeast Texas, to a town of Bonham. You've invested in a couple other markets out that way. We may get into those. But we typically refer to those as tertiary markets, right? A primary market would be something like Dallas, Houston, right? The bigger metros. And I want to talk a little bit so a listener can maybe think about the pros and cons of going out to a smaller market. Do you have maybe a couple of pros you would tell us, maybe a couple of cons, some stuff we can think about mull over?
Yeah, sure. So I would say let's start with the cons first.
Okay.
So as far as cons, your tenant pool will be slightly less as compared to DFW proper, right? Just based on population size. You know, it might take a little longer to lease. A lot of the contractors that we hire come from the Dallas proper. So when we meet new contractors and I tell them I invest in these types of towns, some of them get skeptical and all that. But those are minimal compared to the pros that you'll be able to get. For example, one is you have less competition as a landlord because not that many people are willing to go that far from where they live. And then the cash flow is also better as well, in the sense that, you know, your property taxes are much less as compared to what they would be in Dallas, and just the upside appreciation. You're buying these for, you know, a fraction of the cost as compared to buying something in Dallas. Those areas are booming, so your appreciation will be higher as well.
Yeah, very good point. Your cost basis is so low. Yeah, and property taxes, we talk about that all the time, or we get hammered here in Dallas, you know, Dallas-Fort Worth proper. I've got some rentals in the county as well, and it's definitely more affordable in that sense. And you and I were talking over the break. Another pro I just want to bring to the listener's attention, it's not just more affordable for you and for me as investors buying the property, but you've talked to people that have moved from more expensive places like DFW, trying to find greater affordability in places like Bonham, correct?
That's correct. So I had a couple of tenants that moved from towns like Sherman, Denison, even from McKinney. I have a tenant that's from McKinney, and they're like, it's just getting too expensive. We want it to be, you know, a little bit further out, you know, get more value for our rent money.
Yeah. Yeah. So to the listener, you know, if you're thinking about buying in a tertiary market, quote, in the country, boy, path of progress is pushing out in these directions. We're going to see those values go up, but it's also pushing people away, right, just from the urban sprawl. Dallas-Fort Worth, I don't know if people haven't been here. It's massive. It's really massive. It's getting bigger. It's harder to drive around. It's no Houston traffic-wise yet, but boy, it's pushing people out. And if you're investing in a place like Bonham, Greenville, Terrell, right? You're going to see some benefits from that. And you mentioned a minute ago that you're paying attention to what's happening at the city council. What other steps have you maybe taken to kind of get to know the city of Bonham?
One of the other steps is I've dined in several of the restaurants in the area. And then for the folks that I'm able to have, like, the ones I connected with, like, for example, in the restaurants, there's a restaurant, Italian restaurant in Bonham. Anant and I go there, you know, the owner, the servers, they're all amazing. So we actually stay in touch. So we're not like best friends or anything, but, you know, we're Facebook friends. I talk to them once in a while and they know that I'm an investor. You know, I have rental houses in the area. So whenever their friends need something, they reach out to me. And then one of my tenants actually invited me to a grand opening of a restaurant that she was going to be working in. And that really felt very meaningful to me. Like, we're not just providing a business, but, you know, I'm trying my best to give her the great experience of being my property. So it was an honor, you know, going to her grand opening and, you know, meeting other people there as well. And her telling people that, you know, she's a great landlord. And, you know, she's also asked me several times, hey, do you have other properties? You know, my friends are looking, but it just, at the moment, when they're looking, mine's already rented, and then when I have something available, you know, they already found something. So hopefully one of these days we'll be able to rent a couple of places to our friends as well.
Yeah, that's, well, you're becoming part of the community, even if you don't live there, and you're doing it right. I mean, this is absolutely a great way to go. And over time, I guarantee you, you know, we'll talk a little bit about sourcing properties maybe in the next segment, but somebody's going to bring you a rental house or a potential property to invest in simply because you know these people now, right? That restaurant owner's going to say, hey, I know Tosh, and she's a great person, and hey, I know what she does. Bam, I've got this friend that needs to sell, blah, 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 right? And That's where you get. That's kind of the progression. You stop hunting properties. They just land in your lap after a while. Now, the properties we're buying are typically in bad shape, and they do need work. How is it doing renovations in a smaller market? You mentioned a little bit about some contractors are like, eh, I don't want to go out there. But how have you handled that?
The way I've handled it is I try to find contractors that are willing to go and see properties for me, for an example. So because I still have my W-2, I'm not able to go see these properties on a regular basis. So I don't go to Bonham, you know, like every weekend, like what you would say, probably maybe once every 2-3 months at that. So the way I do it, this is how I test them. You know, I meet with them and then I find a couple of properties for them to go see for me. And then when I tell them, hey, when you're there, you know, FaceTime me, so we can walk the property together. So that's kind of how I test them. The ones that are, you know, more serious, they're able to drive, you know, to those properties and FaceTime me and show me, versus there's been some that they would schedule with me, but then I don't get that FaceTime. And that's when I know who's serious and who's not.
Good deal. How are you finding these contractors?
So most of the ones that I found are through Facebook. And then I've also recently used one of our vendors as well.
Okay, so for the listener, if you are a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, Financial Freedom Program, or any of the other memberships, you have access to our vendor marketplace. And same thing with Tosh. That's the first place I'll go. If I need a vendor for some of my more remote properties, I'll go say, hey, who's going down north of Houston where I've got a few rentals, right? Great place to start. But if you don't find what you need there, actually, one of our Financial Freedom presenters has taught classes on how to source vendors on Facebook. And clearly you are availing yourself of that. I'm curious, as a female, as a woman, have you ever gotten a sense that maybe the contractors are not handling you the same way as perhaps they would your husband, Anant, or me? Is there any kind of problems in that sense?
To be honest with you, Andy, I haven't felt that way. I probably felt a little intimidated on my first few deals that I did with the same GC. And the reason why I felt intimidated a little was because he knew that I was a new investor. So he could, you know, he could say something and then I wouldn't obviously be able to confirm it unless I do some research. So as the time goes by, you know, I have much more experience now. So anytime a contractor tells me something, I can tell them, I don't think that's right based on this experience. Or I can, you know, ask them, okay, can you please explain a little bit more? So I think it wasn't more the female thing. It was just more gaining the experience and also confidence in myself to, you know, be okay asking these questions.
Now, you've bought 4 houses in Bonham. You bought a few in a couple other places, but how are you finding these properties? You said the first one was brought by one of the Lifestyles Realty, if I recall. How about the rest of these guys?
Yeah, sure. So a couple of them were from Lifestyles Realty, and then a couple of others were through my license. I hold my Texas real estate license. I found them on the MLS. And then a couple of them were through wholesalers. I'm very active on Facebook. I try to, you know, connect with wholesalers every few weeks, like a simple text message. Hey, I'm here, still buying. So now a couple of them, you know, anytime they have anything in these tertiary markets, you know, they reach out to me before they even go in the market. Like, for example, last week, one of the wholesalers texted me on Friday saying, hey, we're actually going to publish one on Monday. So if you want to spend the weekend, drive there, see it, and then maybe you can probably put an offer before we even put it in the market.
Very good. Yeah, you're doing it right. So multiple sources, multiple sources of properties. You're using the Lifestyles Realty team. I love my email blasts. I get the wholesaler emails. And quite frankly, I see you on social media periodically popping up and saying, hey, wholesalers, I'm here. I buy in this market. And that's great because, like you said earlier, not everybody's going to go out to these tertiary markets. And they know they have an active and a good buyer in that sense. So very good. You mentioned the realtor license. I'm a licensed realtor as well. I was not when I started. I was not for years and years. Do you need to be? Absolutely not. Don't let that bog you down. It's like getting an LLC. Don't do it. Don't do it. It can be helpful, but I would tell you just get a team together with realty, with wholesalers to really do that for you. But so you found a number of properties in Bonham. Do you want to tell us about one of those? I think, okay, you got a case study coming up actually here very shortly this week. Maybe tell us about that one. Give us a little heads up on that.
Yeah, sure. So that one I'm actually very proud of as far as purchase price. I remember you had mentioned that, you know, if you see my progression where my expenses, you know, cash out of pocket are getting less and less. So I feel I've learned from each property, there's lessons learned, and I try to bring those lessons learned into the next one. So a property that this particular property, it was listed on the MLS for $107,000. I reached out to the seller's agent and told them, hey, you know, I am a serious buyer. I have, you know, a portfolio of rental properties in that area, and I would love to add this particular home into my portfolio. But before I send my GC out there, I wanted to be respectful of everybody's time. Would you be considering, your seller would be considering, you know, a lower offer, because I feel 107 might be a little bit too much based on, you know, the other comps in the area. And he agreed. After a couple of negotiations, it was listed for 107, and then we bought it for 62,000.
Wow. Big drop. Very good. Very good. What was the scope of work? How did that look?
So the scope of work for that one, it was a two-bedroom, one bath, and they had a garage, and then they had like a sunroom in the back. So what we decided was the values of properties are a little bit better and more desirable for tenants if it's a 3-2. So we converted the garage into the master bedroom, and then that sunroom became the master bedroom's bathroom, and then also the laundry room as well. The numbers just made sense to add that additional third room and second bath.
So you incur a higher cost, but the lever that you're pulling there is pushing up the value much more exponentially there. So is this one already done and leased up and everything?
Correct. So the tenants are moving in actually 2 weeks.
Very good. Very good. What do the numbers look like roughly?
Yeah. So for this one, I listed it for $1,750. So I'm getting the rent for $1,750, and then they have two pets. So total rent will be $1,800. So the cash flow for each month is about $327. Cash out of pocket for this one was $16,000, and
nice.
The equity capture was $45,000.
Oh, all right. So that is a quadrupling of your money. So to the listener, she put a total to buy this. What was the total renovation budget, by the way?
The total renovation for this, I believe, was, I think, 80.
80. Okay. So you bought it for, what'd you say, 64, something like that?
60s?
62, $80,000 in work. So what is that, 142 all in plus some closing costs. Did all this work, paid that price. The value came in somewhere much higher, right? And because of that, your cash out of pocket. Tasha's total investment is only $16,000. That's all she has in this property. That is amazing. But through the process, we talk about the five ways we make money. You can learn about that at our free workshop. One of the big things is equity gain. So out of that 16, you added another $45,000 on top. So you're sitting on a little over $60,000 in equity. That's a great thing. You have quadrupled your money in what, 2, maybe 3 months, and now you've got cash flow coming in and all the other ways that we make money. This is on one house. And listener, she said it's addictive. You don't stop with one. You do this again and again, and it gets better and better, and you really lever those five ways. So very well done, very good job. I will see you at the case study. I look forward to seeing your presentation. Anant will be there with you as well?
That's correct. He'll be there. Even though, you know, a lot of people, I'm more on the facing of our business, but Anant does a lot behind the scenes.
I was going to ask you, how do you two work together as a team?
So as far as leading the operations, the sourcing of these deals, managing the whole project for the rehab, you know, the leasing part of it, meeting with potential tenants, all of that I complete. And then Anant does all the due diligence of walking the properties towards the end when the contractors are done, because he has a better eye for seeing things, and especially in rehabs versus me. And as well as maintenance, we have like a list of people now. So anytime we have an HVAC issue, we know who to call, and he goes to all our properties. You know, a plumber, now we have one on our team, so we bring him in whenever we need it. So once you have a process in place, whether you have one or 100 houses, if you have a process, I think it's the same.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's why houses, although they may be disparate and spread across the Metroplex, mine are all over DFW. Once you get those processes in place, once you have that team, it really is scalable. You know, you and I know a guy on the East Coast that has 100 plus houses. Yeah, it's absolutely scalable. By the way, I ran some numbers real quick while you were talking. You said cash flow a little north of $320 per month. That's the net cash that Tosh keeps in her pocket every month. That's her profit on this one house. Divide that, annualize that, and divide that by your $16,000 out of pocket. That is a 25% cash on cash return. I cannot get that in my high interest savings account. 3.5%, 4.5% maybe. 25%. Awesome, awesome numbers. I just had to circle back and underscore that one more time. And for the listener, come out to the case study or register and check it out online and see Tosh present these in greater detail. I bet you'll have some good before and after pictures and all that fun stuff. Last question for you, I think, and we're probably going to run out of time here. You're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Your properties are out in a tertiary market about an hour away. How do you handle the lease-up? How did you find the residents for this house?
So as far as leasing, Anant's also really good with taking pictures. So he takes the photos, photoshops them to make it look more professional. And then we publish it in various different platforms like Zillow. And then we use TurboTenant as our primary platform for operations. And also another big one is Facebook. So a lot of these tertiary markets, some of them don't use Zillow or the MLS to find their next place to rent. So we also publish on Facebook in different groups, local groups particular to those towns. So some of my tenants actually I found through Facebook as well. And as far as when a tenant comes, so they'll all come through me. So they'll call my number. I speak to them. And if we want to proceed, I have a friend who's a full-time realtor. So she helps me with showing the houses. She'll go to the property, open the door, show them around, and then lock the door. And then if they have questions, they'll call me. So it's a teamwork, definitely. And I, you know, I'm really blessed to have a good team.
Very good. Hey, you've got a great process. I mean, this is effectively remote for you. I saw a question from a guy in Mississippi saying, hey, how do you handle this stuff if I'm buying in Texas? It's the same thing. It's just a couple more miles away. That's okay. You just have to build that team. That is, I think, the big key word I'm hearing here. Hey, great information today. So would you tell the listener tertiary markets are a good place to go to?
Oh, 1,000%. You know, it's definitely a place to be.
Any other advice?
I would say just do it. You know, not your first deal is not going to be perfect, or you know, as long as the numbers work, do it. You know, you'll learn something. You know, I'm almost 10 houses in, and I'm still learning. So you're always going to keep learning. So just do the first one, get over that fear, and then you know the rest is history.
Absolutely, and a great history so far. Hey, Path of Progress is moving towards your county seat up there in Fannin County. It's going to get there. Your values are going to get up. I have a lot more questions for you. We are simply out of time, but Tosh, thank you for joining me today. I will see you at the case study. Again, to the listener, lucasestudy.com. Go check it out. Check out our free workshop. Become a member and follow in her path, Path of Progress. You'll see progress too. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.